They're very blunt about what it is. It's slavery that we're trying to protect against this threat from the North. But after the war, they knew that was not the road to take to get a receptive hearing, and so they changed course. These books are both almost impossible to read, at least straight through. They're very turgidly written, very legalistic, both of them. But the point is that they both are an attempt to distance the Confederate war from the issue of slavery, the coming of the war, and the conduct of the war. It was the Constitution, the high ground. Bitterness toward the North lingered for many years in the White South. I think that there is often a sort of rosy glow over discussions of the post-war years. Yes, Americans killed each other during the war, but really they were so much more alike than different. And once the war was over, they came back together fairly quickly. They realized their essential Americanness. And we'll talk in a minute about reconciliation. There was some of that, surely. But there was also a good deal of bitterness in the Confederacy, in the former Confederacy, kept alive toward the North. The post-war South did all kinds of things to remember the war. Ladies' associations spearheaded efforts to disinter Confederate dead from Northern battlefields and battlefields away from home and bring them back to the Confederacy. They erected monuments on courthouse lawns. They celebrated the birthdays of Davis and Robert E. Lee. In any number of ways, they recalled the war and reinforced these ideas about how they had been fighting for state rights and constitutional rights and how it wasn't about slavery. And all of these occasions, I think, helped to keep alive a certain bitterness. The lyrics, I think, of the song, "Oh, I'm a Good Old Rebel," the sheet music for which sarcastically noted the Honorable Thaddeus Stevens as an inspiration for this song, I think that song gives a very short but accurate glimpse at how many white Southerners felt after the war. And here are part of the lyrics. It shows that the Confederates recognized they'd been whipped by the Federals, that further armed resistance was impossible, but also showed a determination to keep alive animosity toward the North. These are the lyrics. 300,000 Yankees is stiff in Southern dust. We got 300,000 before they conquered us. They died of Southern fever and Southern steel and shot. I wish they was 3 million instead of what we got. I can't take up my musket and fight them now no more, but I ain't gonna love them. Now that is certain sure. And I don't want no pardon for what I was and am, and I won't be reconstructed. I don't care a damn. I think that is how a lot of the White South felt about the conflict after the war. So a good deal of bitterness. Now, by the last two decades of the century, there was a movement toward reconciliation. I think it was more important in the North and stronger in the North, but it also was present in the South. This reconciliation movement emphasized the degree to which all these men were Americans who fought each other during the war, common heritage, common characteristics. This reconciliationist movement argued that everybody had been gallant. It left slavery out of the picture because slavery muddied the waters. Instead, it just said that both sides fought for what they believed was right. Don't make a moral judgment about what was right. Just say that they both fought bravely for what they believed was right. They were all brave together, all a credit to America. This is what our country produced, these brave men fighting for what they believed was right. John Brown Gordon's reminiscences are a perfect example of this reconciliationist literature. They came out just after the turn of the century. Gordon, a very good soldier in Lee's army, a major general at the end of the war, politician in Georgia after the war. He'd been quite bitter toward the Federals during the war, but in this book, in his book of reminiscences, published just after the turn of the century, everybody is brave. All the Federals are brave. It's really just sort of a love fest in this book and in many other books like it, extolling the virtues of American manhood, Northern and Southern. Many of the reconciliationist writers said the war was a watershed because it confirmed the Union and prepared the nation for international greatness. Former Confederates fought in the war against Spain, Fitzhugh Lee, Joseph Wheeler, Tom Rosser, and others, former Confederate generals. Now, the fact that slavery and emancipation largely disappeared from the white memory of the conflict, I think, really fit in rather nicely with how most of the white North would have explained what the war was about at the time, that it was about union, not so much about emancipation. I don't think it was that hard for most white Northerners to push emancipation to the side. But it alienated